Major funding for the connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. With the acceptance of an engagement ring, for many comes the ritual of sending off a wedding announcement to the local paper. The account gets printed, clipped, treasured, and, well, that's pretty much that. Well, it was never so simple at the New York Times to make the Times social page is, now this is for those who care about such matters, a recognition of social status, professional achievement, personal newsworthiness. It happens to be one of the best-read sections of the paper, along with the obituaries. Now, it's hard for most couples to get their weddings in the Times, but it has been impossible for one particular group until now. Starting in September, the Times will carry announcements of same-sex unions. The Times won't be the first paper to run such announcement, but as the preeminent American newspaper, what the newspaper of record does counts. Now, Connection listeners, 49 of the 50 states still don't recognize single-sex unions. Do you think the newspapers of the nation should? And will it make the legalization of same-sex marriage any more likely? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can, of course, join us online. We're at theconnection.org. I'm joined in the studio by Michael Bronski. He's the author of Pleasure Principle, Sex Backlash and the Struggle for Gay Freedom. This fall, he's going to be a visiting scholar in women's and Jewish studies at Dartmouth College. He's a frequent contributor to the Boston Phoenix. And joining us from Washington, D.C., Peter Sprigg, Senior Director of Cultural Studies at the Family Research Council. It's a pro-life, pro-family think tank in Washington, D.C. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
Michael, help me put this in some kind of context. You've written a long piece about it in which you kind of take both sides of the argument by saying it doesn't really matter what the papers put on their social pages. But then a little later on in the same article, you say that it's one of the most profound organizational principles of a functional society to understand how it is we handle manners and etiquette, social protocol, and civility. So the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation says this is a watershed. Do you agree with them?
I do agree. In my article, I did begin by saying that it didn't really matter because it was just the society pages. The way in the past one might say it's just the women's pages,
right,
in a paper. Obviously, I was setting myself up to change my mind halfway through.
Indeed.
I do think that what I sort of like to think of that we live in three different worlds. There's the private world of what we do at home and who we are. Then there's a public sphere of who we are publicly. And I think that the society pages functions as almost a third sphere. It's almost a fantasy of how other people live. Because let's face it, the society pages, you have to fight to get onto them. You have to have a certain level of income, a certain level of social stature.
Influence. Connections.
You know, there's the old joke in New York that the wedding announcement pages in the Times are called the mergers and acquisition pages.
Yes.
But I do think that if we look at this historically, that indeed those pages, which have actually shrunk enormously over the past 50, maybe 75 years to only two or three pages from what they used to be, are in fact an incredible imaginative world that matters to many, many people and that does set a tone and set a trend to where society maybe has been, but also to where it's going as well.
Peter Sprigg, let's hear from you on whether or not it makes a difference that a newspaper like the New York Times decides to change the name of its wedding page to Wedding Celebrations and will now, as of September, include notices of same-sex unions, celebrations, weddings, whatever the language is.
Well, I think it does make a difference, and I think the Times knows that it makes a difference, and that's what motivated their decision. And this is the problem that we have with the decision, is that in announcing it, they claim it's based only on the newsworthiness of these celebrations, and they also claim that they will remain impartial in the debate over the legal and religious definition of marriage. Well, I don't think that they can make both claims at the same time. I mean, I think they've clearly taken a position in favor of treating same-sex unions, homosexual relationships, as being fully the equivalent of genuine marriages. That is a controversial position, and I don't think that it should be reflected in the society pages when there's no social consensus in our country on that point.
Are you saying that the notices should not be in the paper? Are you telling newspaper editors and publishers these things should not be written?
I think that they should not be in there because they are the union of a same-sex couple does not represent the beginning of a legally recognized marriage. Marriage is a fundamental human institution. It predates the New York Times. It predates even the United States of America, and it's been astonishingly transcultural. And yet there has never been any culture at any time in any place in the world where homosexual relationships have been recognized as the equivalent of marriage. And so I don't think it's either the right or the power of the New York Times to redefine the institution of marriage.
We have Joan Gary on the line with us. She's executive director of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation and the head of the organization that actually made the argument to the New York Times. Joan, you've listened to to Peter's difficulty with the Times decision, saying in effect that it wasn't a decision based on newsworthiness, but a decision based on the fact that organizations like yours were able to twist their arms.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the program this morning. I wanted to just say, first of all, that the New York Times is not not the sole newspaper that's made this choice, nor the first one, and that there are somewhere close to 70 newspapers around the country, much of them much, much smaller than the New York Times. And the New York Times, frankly, is somewhat behind the curve relative to the Fayetteville Observer and the Montgomery Advertiser and some other newspapers around the country that see this for exactly what it is, which is a newsworthy story that gay and lesbian people are making these public ceremonies happen. And I believe that the New York Times is doing exactly what they said, which is, you know, they can't ignore the fact that this is a growing trend and that these are newsworthy stories. And you know, and that, I think that's what it's about. And in terms of twisting their arm, it's you know, I think how I would characterize our conversations was we made some compelling arguments about the issues. We made a compelling argument that the notion that gay marriage is legal is not relevant as it relates to whether or not you run these wedding announcements, that they run engagements on the pages of the New York Times, and that's not a legal construct, and that marriage shouldn't be the standard by which they decide who goes on that page, that weddings should be the standard. That's what the title of the section is called. You know, and those are the kinds of arguments that we made, and they were compelling ones. And I think the New York Times had been thinking about it for some time and had been watching this growing trend around the country. And it was something they ultimately couldn't ignore. And frankly, we felt like they had a responsibility to be inclusive on their wedding pages.
Michael Bronski.
Right. I find myself in the odd position of mostly agreeing with Peter and slightly disagreeing with Joan, which, as somebody who's done some
Explain
gay
that.
Activism for 30 years, it's odd. I do agree with Joan that gay wedding announcements are, in fact, newsworthy. But I must agree with Peter that the New York Times, that the decision of what gets put into even the society pages is on some level an editorial decision. The Times is a paper that has editorialized consistently on many gay issues over the past 10 years in a very progressive and liberal way. And I think that putting these on the pages is actually consistent with that.
You know, I think that the, you know, I look at the wedding and announcement pages of the New York Times as human interest stories. That's what they are. In fact, when we talked with the New York Times and said, and that issue came up about editorializing on news pages, I said, well, come on, the Sunday Style section, this is human interest.
Peter,
you know, the
Spray,
last
let
story
let
that you wrote
from
about couples a couple getting married on the Sunday Style section, the big story was that the bride was late. And in the context of human interest stories, I guarantee you that the stories of gay and lesbian couples who struggle through in order to make these public ceremonies public have human interest stories that can trump many of the human interest stories that appear in the New York Times Sunday Style section. And let's also not forget here, we're not just talking about the New York Times. We're talking about papers all across the country. We're talking about the San Francisco Chronicle. We're talking about the Fayetteville Observer. You know, this is not just a story about the New York Times. This is a story about a growing trend, gay weddings around the country, and what we believe is a responsibility of newspapers to cover them as news.
Peter Spring, we do know that these unions have been a part of our society, as Joan's explaining, for some considerable period of time. So could you accept the argument that you know, at least the newspapers have the responsibility to follow the trend in society if they don't want to take a leadership role?
Well, first, let me respond to the previous discussion by pointing out that, as far as I know, the New York Times did not consult with any, cross-section of, say, clergy members or marriage experts or wedding consultants. And I'm certain they didn't consult with any pro-family groups like the Family Research Council before making this decision. So that, to me, reinforces the fact that it was a political decision and that they were somewhat deceptive because Joan and her organization, before the ink was hardly dry on this announcement, were trumpeting the fact that they'd been pressing for this for a year and that they had had a personal formal meeting with the managing editor of the Times just a month ago. But the Times did not mention any of that in their news story announcing this decision. So I think it was both political and somewhat deceptive the way that they announced it.
Okay, but I do want to get you to address not the, you know, whatever motivated the Times to make the decision, but what the import or the effect of the decision will be.
Well, you know, you talked about it being a growing trend that's been around for some time. I wouldn't deny that it's growing, but I would say to this point it's grown from non-existent to minuscule. If you look at the census figures from the last census, you'll find that less than 0.6% of all the households in America are headed by same-sex couples. There are 90 times as many households headed by married couples as there are ones headed by same-sex couples. But forgive me for suspecting that now that this decision is made, more than 1 in 90 of the announcements in the Times pages will be for same-sex couples.
And that won't be a legitimate decision on the paper's part on the basis of the newsworthiness of those unions?
Well, you know, again, it comes back to the political motivation. I think that if it was like a small newspaper which accepts everybody's wedding announcements, or if it was the kind of paper where you had to pay to have your wedding announcement placed in the paper, then I think that they would have a stronger claim to simply be taking a neutral and impartial stance. But my understanding is that that in the case of the New York Times, they actually do make an editorial decision as to which ones are going to be included, and so they're going to be promoting this homosexual marriage every time they include one.
Connection listeners, are newspapers promoting homosexual unions by putting notices of same-sex union celebrations in the wedding section? Is that the way that you see it? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. To join us, Joan Gary, thanks for being with us. Joan is Executive Director of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. We continue this conversation when we come back after the break. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
From Boston University.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. We're talking about same-sex unions, whether or not the announcement of those unions belong in your local newspaper. My guests are Michael Bronski. He's the author of Pleasure Principle, Sex Backlash, and the Struggle for Gay Freedom. And Peter Sprigg is with us. He's Senior Director of Cultural Studies at the Family Research Council. We'll also bring Charles Broadwell into our conversation now because he's editor and publisher of the Fayetteville Observer. Last month, before the New York Times made its announcement. Charles, you decided to print a single-sex union announcement in the paper, along with an editorial explaining why it was you chose to do that. Was it a difficult decision for you?
It was the first time we had ever been presented with the opportunity to make that decision, shall I say, although we had wondered over the years how we would respond, and we had two local gentlemen. One of them came into the paper here, and they had actually had their union recognized in the state of Vermont and showed me the paperwork, and I said, gosh, we do have a decision to make here. So after a couple of days, we decided that that we would run it, and I ran my column that day to explain it to readers, knowing that it would be controversial. And I think, as I believe it was Peter said earlier, we are a paper here in North Carolina, and we allow readers to post their announcements typically free of charge for the standard announcement. So we are not making, unlike the New York Times, an editorial decision of who may or may not be worthy on our celebrations pages, as we call them.
But aren't you making an editorial decision to say, yes, we will also accept same-sex announcements on that page if you had to do it for the first time last month?
Yes, that's fair to quantify that or qualify that as an editorial decision. And I think the nature of our pages is that it is essentially a community bulletin board for people to be able to announce milestones in their lives, and we felt as if we were to refuse these two gentlemen, it would I would not have been comfortable with that position, even though it has stirred a lot of controversy here and may not have been a popular decision. I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Did you have people canceling their subscription?
We have had the announcement ran on July the 21st, I believe it was, and I've had probably hundreds of emails about it and phone calls, and we have had some people to cancel their subscriptions. Unfortunately, I've talked with many of them, and I'm hoping that those losses will not be too significant. But it's still being talked about on our editorial pages and in our letters every day to this point.
Enough to make you reconsider the decision?
No, because I think as a newspaper, sometimes you have to make decisions that may or may not be popular at the time, and I think that I think that we did the right thing. And again, I'm not trying to be two-faced, if you will, but without making any judgment, moral or otherwise, on the on those unions, I just felt that we could not essentially slap back those two gentlemen and say that no, we don't want your kind in our newspaper. I didn't think that would be right. So the criteria we have is that it would have to be a state-sanctioned ceremony, which right now would be the state of Vermont, and it would have to be local people involved. So I think that for the first one that we had, that I'm comfortable with the decision that we made.
Peter Sprigg, your sense of the decision that Charles made.
Well, of course, I personally am opposed to homosexual behavior across the board. I feel it's harmful to the individuals who engage in it and harmful to society as a whole. So I would not want to see homosexual relationships celebrated in any way. Now, for a newspaper editor, to look at the nuances as an editor, if you're approaching it, you know, without taking that position, I can understand perhaps what Mr. Broadwell has done. Now, you mentioned the celebrations page. Maybe you can tell me if this includes other types of celebrations, because again, one of the arguments I had with the Times is they specifically, the page used to be called the weddings page, and only because they're accepting same-sex couples are they changing it to weddings and celebrations. Now, if you have a section in your paper that has all kinds of life events, births, baptisms, confirmations, bar mitzvahs, retirement parties, and so forth, as you might in a small local paper, then I think you might have a little bit better argument for including something like this. But
go ahead, Charles.
And that's what we have. We include and have for decades engagements, anniversaries, weddings, and so forth, and we put that under the banner of celebrations, and we put this particular announcement, our first ever, under a label of civil union, so it certainly stood out in addition to the photo from the rest of them, but it was part of that celebration section.
1-800-423-8255 is our number. We're going to Randolph, Massachusetts now. Howard's on the line. Hello, Howard.
Yes, good morning. One of the things that intrigues me about the gentleman from the conservative outfit, the Family Research Council, is that conservatives typically act, the implicit assumption behind conservative positions is that people are going to read the media and immediately going to be influenced and going to go out and mindlessly behave the way they believe the media tells them to. In other words, the gentleman believes apparently that simply because the Times is making an editorial change in the minds of readers, that's going to legitimate homosexual unions.
Peter?
Well, I think I would be very surprised if in the years to come, as the debates continue in various states and localities over proposals for civil unions or domestic partnerships or even granting rights of civil marriage to homosexuals, I'd be surprised if the fact that these ceremonies are included on newspaper wedding pages is not used as an argument in favor of it. There's kind of a chicken and egg question going on here because the argument, I suppose, in favor is, well, these are already going on. We're just recognizing it. But they are not legally recognized in the vast majority of jurisdictions in the country. And I think that this kind of social and cultural watershed of how they're described in the newspapers will be used as a tool, as a political tool, in the political debates over the legal status of marriage.
Michael Bronski, do you think that's the case?
I do. Once again, I have to agree with Peter. I think that this is a watershed, and I think that we may make fun of the so-called society pages, but they are a bellwether and a harbinger of people thinking. And I think that, I mean, where I would certainly depart with Peter is that, you know, to quote Ann Landers, wake up, smell the coffee, things are changing. We are on the road to having maybe in 150 years gay civil marriages. And this is the first step.
But because gay activists have been singularly unsuccessful, with the exception of Vermont, in getting legal recognition for those unions, well, is this another road to that legal recognition?
It is another road, but I want to point out that I believe, and I don't have this number exact, but I believe there's about 150, 175 municipalities across the country that have domestic partnerships. We have them in Cambridge. They have them in New York City. In fact, one of the standards for the New York Times wedding to be accepted for the wedding page is that you have to either have a Vermont civil union or register as a domestic partner.
So, well, I think they said either have that legal recognition or have a public ceremony in which the name of the person who officiated can be published as well. So now, I don't believe that all of them are going to be ones that are legally recognized. And 175 localities is I'm not sure exactly how many there are. I think there's over 3,000 counties in America, and I'm not sure how many cities, towns, townships, boroughs, and so forth. So, but 175 is a tiny number compared to the total number of localities.
It's a beginning.
Well, that's the point. I think something like the society pages of newspaper is not a place to carry out, debates over controversial social issues. That things should be included there when there is a social consensus, a broad, overwhelming social consensus that these things are, an acceptable part of society. And that just doesn't exist.
I want to just follow up, if I can, Peter, on the legal aspect of what we were discussing, because I'd like to hear Charles on this, whether or not, Charles, if at some point a North Carolina lawyer stood before the Supreme Court of the state and said, Your Honor, I respectfully submit these six issues of the Fayetteville Observer showing that society is accepting same-sex unions and therefore you should rule that gay marriages are legal in this state.
Well, I guess I would like to think that we have that much influence with the North Carolina Supreme Court. I don't believe we do, but I accept the point that these things are happening, and I guess as a community bulletin board, again, if we were just to deny it, even though it has been so controversial, I think that we would be kidding our readers. And also to go back to the notion of a social consensus, well, all of you know that it was not so many years ago, particularly in my part of the country, where the notion of an interracial marriage was anathema to so many people, and should a newspaper wait for the majority of its residents, and I'm not making a direct comparison, but it has been made to me that were we to go out there and do a poll and then wait for the majority to say that that those are okay, so we can now put them on our wedding pages. That's a question.
Right. I think what Peter said is completely on target. That if you're actually looking at to actually gauge a national consensus, you will never find it about any number of issues. Certainly the notion of interfaith of interfaith or interracial marriages is like one of them. If you were actually looking at the history of newspapers, one of the roles of the papers in America has been actually to lead. So we've saw this, you know, papers would editorialize for integration at a time when there was no national consensus. Papers would, I mean, I was reading a book about history of race in the South 70 years ago. It was not uncommon for small Southern newspapers to actually print notices of upcoming lynchings for that evening.
And at the time, it was also, I mean, the papers, I believe, wouldn't print a Mr. or a Mrs. in front of a black person's name. Yes. I mean, these things have changed. As you point out in your article, though, the way that newspapers cover stories changes also as a reflection rather than leading. It was only, 30 years ago that rape wasn't covered in newspapers.
Not at all.
To be something that people wanted
it
to read
shameful.
About.
It was shameful. You had two options. She either brought it on herself or she was the innocent victim and shouldn't be mentioned.
1-800-423-8255 is our number. We're going to Orleans, Indiana. Nick's on the line. Hi, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
It's really refreshing to hear somebody like Charles in Fayetteville state his reason why his paper is publishing these. Until all of the newspapers in this country report the news, and that's what this is. I mean, these are marriages, unions, or whatever that have taken place. You're just reporting it. It's ludicrous to think that, you know, by reporting this, you're somehow going to make change behavior. That's not going to happen. All you're doing is reporting the news.
I do agree with you about the value or the weight of this at the small paper level, Nick, because, you know, I think of the editorial board of the New York Times as not necessarily being as close to the street as the Charles Broadwells are in Lafayette or any of the smaller papers are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like I have nothing in common with anybody than on the society list of the New York Times.
Oh, you're just jealous.
This is Peter Sprigg again.
Go ahead, Peter.
I just wanted to say that, again, I come down to the point that the Times, if they wanted to editorialize through the use of, you know, and promote the change in society and culture through the use of the wedding pages, they should at least be honest about that being what they're doing. Now, I would also say I just want to not let those comments about interracial marriage and so forth go unchallenged, because we do believe at the Family Research Council that there's a fundamental difference that race is an essentially superficial characteristic, and that racial discrimination and laws against interracial marriages were fundamentally irrational. But I realize some people think that about homosexual marriage, but I think there's a big difference between homosexual unions, which do not experience the kind of sexual complementarity that there exists between a man and a woman. And we, as part of our work, are always pointing out that homosexual relationships have very negative consequences for society. They lead to higher rates of physical disease, sexually transmitted diseases, mental illness, substance abuse, child sexual abuse, domestic violence. There are tangible negative consequences to homosexual relationships, and that's why we don't think they should be celebrated.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255. To Madison, Wisconsin, Jean's on the line. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. My partner and I are planning a commitment ceremony next fall, and I would love to be able to have my union recognized in the paper. I think it is an important statement.
Why?
Because, number one, I'm a citizen in this county, the state, the country. I pay taxes, and yet I pay taxes and I get discriminated against. I don't think the majority of heterosexual people, at least those that I'm acquainted with, feel that this is inappropriate. And ironically, I think the argument doesn't hold from the Family Research Council, because one of their biggest arguments is that, you know, he just said it, like, we commit every crime, obviously, in the world, according to them. But, you know, one of the big arguments years ago was you had to get people married so that they would be less promiscuous. Well, if that's the argument still they use today to somewhat certain degree, then why wouldn't you want us to get married?
Can
you know,
I don't... Gene, I'd just like to hear you on the topic that we're discussing, whether or not the, you know, the decision by the New York Times and the Lafayette Observer is, you know, about time, or an opportunity for people like yourself and others who want to have these kind of things published to move the social markers a bit, perhaps bring it a little bit closer to some kind of legal acknowledgement.
Well, I think it will. I'm 100% supportive of it, and I think it's the right of each paper to make that decision. As far as it making it more legal, I think that so many people in the United States run scared anytime there's a social change that happens. And although it's interesting that the gentleman used the racial issue, and now, of course, no, that's not a scary thing. But years ago, most of the conservatives were the trumpeters behind, you know, racial discrimination. You know, the two don't work. I don't see where he can talk out of both sides of his mouth.
Charles Broadwell in North Carolina, do you, in listening to this conversation and thinking about it as you have since the conversation, also reading your mail, wonder whether or not you've become something of a, not your paper, but yours and those like yours, something of a magnet for this controversy?
I think getting back to the nature of the fact that we are essentially a community newspaper, and that when we make a decision here, it sends a little ripple across the region that we cover. So I guess we kind of step, you know, this is not something that we pursued editorially. It came to us. We had to make a decision. And I have been somewhat surprised by the, I guess, the national ripple that it has had. But I accept that we are an independent newspaper here in North Carolina, and try to make the decisions that we think are best. And some may not be popular, but we can't be, you know, holding our finger up to the wind and doing a popularity check every time we publish, or we wouldn't be putting out much of a newspaper here.
No, you'd be a politician. 1-800-423-8255 is the number to call. Gene, thank you very much for your call. Connection listeners, we continue with our conversation about what difference it makes if the newspaper is acknowledging same-sex unions or celebrations on its wedding pages. Are we talking about an old anachronistic little piece of societal nonsense, or is this something that actually makes a difference? 1-800-423-8255. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com. From Boston University.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. Our number's 1-800-423-TALK, 1-800-423-8255. With me in the studio, Michael Bronski. He's a visiting scholar at Dartmouth in Women's Studies and Jewish Studies, freelance writer for The Phoenix, and a cultural critic. Peter Sprigg is also with us. He's Senior Director of Cultural Studies at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. We're talking about a recent decision by the New York Times to publish same-sex wedding announcements. Oh, I should also mention Charles Broadwell, still on the line. Charles is editor of the Fayetteville Observer in North Carolina. That's a newspaper slightly smaller than the New York Times, no less august, that has also decided to carry announcements of same-sex unions. 1-800-423-8255 to Junction City, Wisconsin now. Jim's on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Good morning to you.
Thanks for calling.
I don't agree with it.
With the printing of these things?
Yeah, because, you know, like, if you are a parent and your 9 or 10 year old reads one of these union announcements, and they come and they say, "Hey, mom or dad, there's two guys that are joining in a union or getting married or however they want to put it," how are you going to explain that to your kid? And he says, "Well, Mom, how come you're married to a man and Daddy's married to a woman and these people are marrying each other and they're both the same?"
But there comes a time, Jim, when that conversation has to take place between a parent and a child, why not over the newspaper instead about the folks who are living up the street or down the street?
I don't know. Well, I guess there is one good thing that can come out of it. is if they put it in the paper, then you know if there's somebody in your neighborhood that isn't quite right, then you know who to stay away from and keep your children away from. But I don't agree with it. I don't agree with that type of life. And, you know, I don't know if they can help it or not, but I don't agree. And that's, thank you for the time.
Thank you for calling, Michael Bronski. That's kind of another perspective on it.
It is, yes. What I wanted to ask Peter, actually, is we talked about a growing consensus around things. And certainly the New York Times makes that, as any paper will make decisions based on indications of a growing consensus. And Peter's correct that they did not contact the Family Research Council or other people. But if we look at the whole culture of movies, television, you know, it just seems to me that we have Will and Grace on Thursday nights. We have endless gay characters on sitcoms and on soap operas. We have the Green Lantern comic book now has a gay character who's being queer bashed next month. And the whole discussion of violence against gay people is coming up. I'm beginning to feel a little bit sorry for Peter because he seems to be truly struggling using deeply felt religious beliefs, but really sort of losing the battle against culture in America.
Well, you know, I'll say we have already lost some of the major institutions in our culture. I would say that the major secular news media outlets, of which the New York Times is a significant one, as well as higher education and the entertainment media, are overwhelmingly in favor of this. What we sometimes call the homosexual agenda, the agenda for the celebration of homosexual relationships, and are really ignorant of how out of touch they are with the American public. I looked up some polling figures from a poll taken just a couple of years ago. A majority of Americans in this nationwide poll agreed with the statement that homosexual behavior is morally wrong. A majority agreed with the statement allowing gay and lesbian couples to legally marry would undermine the traditional American family, and a majority also said that there should not be legally sanctioned gay and lesbian marriages. Now, maybe in the editorial boardrooms of the New York Times, they just don't realize how out of touch they are.
You've also got a president on your side and 49 of the 50 legislatures in the states that are continuing to say that same-sex unions should not be legal. When you look at the announcement or the news of the announcement in the New York Times and listen to the conversation as we're having today, are you thinking that there's a new battleground brewing for whether or not the legalization of those unions should take place?
Well, I think one reason why I think that the groups like GLAAD and so forth and those that I refer to as pro-homosexual activists are going to be thrilled with something like this is because having these announcements printed on the page along with weddings is going to communicate the idea to people that these relationships are no different from heterosexual relationships, that they're just a mirror image, but there's no qualitative difference in these relationships. And from the research that we've done on homosexuality, we don't believe that that's true. If you look at studies of homosexuals, you find that a much smaller percentage of them are actually in partnered relationships than of heterosexuals. Those who are in partnered relationships are less likely to remain sexually faithful to their partner, particularly among male homosexuals, and these relationships are less likely to last for a lifetime. And so there's a qualitative difference in these relationships, and we think that putting them on the wedding pages alongside heterosexuals is designed intentionally to, in a sense, to obscure that.
I'd hate to be the person arguing in favor of heterosexual marriages and saying that the divorce rate was going way down, though. I mean, it seems like that kind of qualitative argument could fall apart fairly
quickly.
Well,
you know, at the Family Research Council, I should say, you know, we get a lot more media on the homosexual issues, but we are very active in encouraging heterosexuals as well to abstain from sex before marriage and to remain faithful and monogamous for a lifetime within marriage. And I have never heard a pro-homosexual activist encourage homosexuals to abstain from sexual relations until they're in a civil union or domestic partnership or until they've had a public commitment ceremony.
Peter, let us move on to a couple of calls here. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Jennifer in Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. As the mother of two small children, I'd welcome the pictures of two men or two women who are getting married or, you know, partnering. I don't want them to grow up thinking there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I think these are the things that cause the negative consequences that your guest brought up, higher rates of drug use or STDs.
How old are your children, Jennifer?
6 and 3, a son and a daughter.
And is it your expectation that the world that they grow up in will not see what we're talking about today as something that's controversial?
Well, you know, I hope so. I grew up in the South, and, I mean, I saw a lot of change in the way people viewed African-Americans and interracial marriage, and I think that's, you know, I've seen that change. I'm hoping that we can see change in how we view homosexual unions and homosexual couples and homosexual families, you know, with kids. It just, that's how it starts, is you start with kids. You let them see it, and you don't think anything about it.
Do you also start with newspapers and in terms of saying, you
right.
know what, if it's in the paper, that makes a difference?
It does. It does. They see it. I mean, right now when we see the pictures of a man and a woman, we're drawing mustaches on them, but they just don't think anything about it. And we do see those pages. We you know, they see pictures of people. They comment on it. They should grow up not thinking there's anything wrong with it. And that's one place it can start.
Charles Broadwell, in your announcement, did you run a picture as well?
We did, and which is standard with most of our announcements, and it certainly stood out among the rest, shall we say. And I think some people, if they happen to miss my column on the way to the celebrations pages, they were surprised or shocked to see it. So, as you might imagine, and the Wall Street Journal called me, and they did a story on this, and they ran a photo of the two gentlemen as well.
I saw it there, but I don't have a subscription to The Observer. So,
I'll talk to you after the show, then.
1-800-423-8255. Darlington, South Carolina. Whitney's on the line. Hi, Whitney.
I just wanted to say I think that it's not necessarily a political statement. I think that we should be included in the same pages as the heterosexuals, and I think I agree with the last caller. Kids need to see it and grow up and understand that it's not big and bad and scary. And as to the comment about our relationships not lasting and us not being faithful to one another in the gay and lesbian community, I think a big part of that is how not accepted we are and how much more we have to struggle to be in our relationships publicly.
Although, you know, both sides of the debate here on the program today, Whitney, I think would say, you know, it is a very political statement. Maybe one would say it's a good political statement, one would say it's a bad one, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of dissent about that.
Well, I think obviously it's going to be viewed as political because this is such a topic and this is being, and there's so much change going on. But I think that it doesn't necessarily need to be. I think that things kind of need to calm down a bit. And I think that it's a good thing that they're being included on the same pages as heterosexual couples.
Michael Brunsky, the sort of political nature of this type of thing. I said a little earlier on the program that, you know, you could take the whole social pages of the newspaper thing and crumple it up as a holdover from, you know, Victorian times when I was saying that, you know, my family was better off than your family. And yet there's new life being put into these pages because of this
completely
debate.
Yes, I think it's interesting. If you look at the New York Times, up until I believe it was 1973, the New York Times would print Jewish wedding announcements on Monday. And Christian or Catholic ones, or maybe just Christian, because maybe Catholics, being Irish, couldn't get into the Times, on Sunday. Now, clearly, from our point of view, this is almost quaint and bizarre. And also, I said to somebody the other day, and they said, but it's a Jewish-run newspaper. And I said, well, that's not, you know, you don't make decisions because you're Jewish or because you're Catholic. You make them because of sort of popular consensus of what's done. And in fact, newspapers are incredibly political, for better or worse. I'm sure Peter and I would like have disagreements about which was better. But, you know, newspapers set the tone for politics. And this is, and again, I would agree with Peter, this is a way of setting the tone to make the acceptance of gay marriage or gay civil unions or gay domestic partnership programs more acceptable.
And I will say, this is Peter, I will say that as a matter of freedom of the press, I don't question the right of a newspaper or the editors of a newspaper to make this decision if they choose. I mean, I think they have legal constitutional right to approach it however they want. But I do question whether it's going to be beneficial to society in the long run.
The GLAAD people, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, on the strength of this, you made the point earlier, Peter, are now heading out on a campaign to turn as many newspapers as they possibly can. Is this a battle that you sort of have to cede to that lobby and turn your attention elsewhere? Or do you think that it is important for people who feel strongly against the announcements to say, no, no, you know, I'm talking to my Charles Broadhead in my hometown saying, I don't want us to see this stuff in my paper.
Well, I think people should certainly express their viewpoints to their local papers, and it sounds like they're doing that in Fayetteville through the letters to the editor and so forth. I would certainly encourage that. And the point I would make is to claim that this is just about recognizing the newsworthiness of you know, important life celebrations is. You know, just less than honest. That this is all about the debate over gay marriage, and I think anybody who doesn't think that homosexuals should have the legal right to marriage ought to be opposed to this kind of treatment of these relationships by the newspaper.
I want to give the last word to Charles Broadwell, because Charles, your family has owned that paper, I think, for almost 80 years now and has seen a lot of change in that time. Do you think that the conversation that we're having now is one that will last for a period of time and will soon be forgotten, or something that will continue?
I think it will continue, and again, as you said, we have been here for a while, and we are a paper that we have devoted more coverage to religion and family matters in the past year, and this is just part of what we do, and certainly we don't want to be used as part of an agenda or some kind of lobbying effort. We just do what we do and hopefully make the best decisions for our readers and our community, even though sometimes the things we do may not be particularly popular.
Charles, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Charles Broadwell, editor and publisher of the Fayetteville Observer in North Carolina. Peter Sprigg, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Peter is Senior Director of Cultural Studies at the Family Research Council in Washington. Michael Bronski, thank you for
your
time. Michael's author of The Pleasure Principle, Sex Backlash, and the Struggle for Gay Freedom, and a freelance writer for the Boston Phoenix. Earlier in the program, we talked also with Joan Gary, Executive Director of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. This is